It immediately went down. So we'll see if that happens again. Let's see. There we go. Okay, folks, it's good to be back with you again in this role. I'm thankful for a pastor to ask me to do this, and it's an honor to be here with you. I'm going to read out of two sections of the scriptures, the same account, but both sections give us a fuller view of what takes place. The first piece will be in Mark, the 6th chapter, the 45th through the 52nd verses, and then the second chapter will be Matthew 14, 28 through 32. In Mark 6, 45 through 52, we read these words. "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. And they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Then the 14th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, starting with the 28th verse. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased." These two sections about the same account gives us a full view of what takes place. Jesus, I don't know if you realize it or not, but Jesus and Peter are only two people that ever walked on water. I don't know if you... Now, some of us... My mother used to think I did, but I really didn't. And I'm sure some of you feel like that about your loved one, but the reality is they really don't walk on water. And oftentimes, we miss out on what took place here. This is an amazing thing. This is absolutely amazing. Peter walked on the water. Understand that? Now, I know he didn't spend a lot of time on top. I get that. By the way, just a thought for you to consider. When Jesus pulls him, reaches out and raises him out of the water, how did they get back to the ship? They walked. Yeah, that's okay. I take all the help I can get on sermons, let me tell you. Peter and Jesus make up a very short list of people who have ever walked on water. I wonder what it would take for some of us to have the kind of faith to be water walkers. That's a sermon title, by the way, being a water walker. I wonder what it would take. Now, I'm not supposing that you would go out to the local lake and walk across the lake. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, what would it take for you and I to have the kind of faith to be used of God in what would be considered a miraculous manner? What would it take for God to take somebody like us? You say, well, wait a minute. You don't understand. I'm not that special in life. The reality is Peter wasn't that special either. In Peter, he alone, without Jesus, was just another fisherman. Now, he might have been loud, he may have been boisterous, as we seem to think he was, and he may have had a hot temper, but he was just an ordinary kind of guy walking down the road. But the day he met Jesus, life became completely different for him. And he became a man who is used by God to help change the world. Now, that's just an ordinary guy. So what would it take for you and I to be some kind of water walker? Now, I'm not trying to say that that God wants to use us as a wonderful picture for the world to see so that we can show them how great we are. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, we read these words, "All the works they do for to be seen of men," Jesus talking, "and they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Now there's the true picture of what God wants us to be. We're not the masters running around so that the rest of the world can see how great we are. But we are men and women who impact our world and help change our world for God. We're just ordinary people who God uses to do miracles and to be involved in miracles. In this particular event, we see one of the wonders of Jesus. I think we can clearly distinguish that the Gospels tell us about Jesus not merely through words, but that we are allowed to see Jesus and the wonders of Jesus through the witness of his actions. Jesus does marvelous things. I mean, he feeds the multitudes. In the previous verses that we read, he's just fed the 5,000. And he feeds the multitudes with just a little bit of nothing. He causes the dead to raise. He heals the lame. He causes the blind to see. I mean, he's just not the ordinary kind of guy. He's not your ordinary preacher. You understand that. But also understand that Jesus also took his disciples and they replicated some of the things that Jesus did. Did not Paul do some marvelous and miraculous things? Did not Peter do some marvelous and miraculous things? Did not Peter and John walk by the gate beautiful one day and there was a guy sitting there that couldn't walk and he says, "Alms, alms," and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Oh my, I mean, this is some marvelous things that take place. How does Jesus utilize people like that? And I think it's an issue of faith on our part. And with that being said, what I'd like to do is just simply give you a few things that I think that we have to understand if we want to be a water walker. Now, if you're satisfied staying in the boat in the storm, you don't have to worry about this, okay? If you're satisfied with just doing the ordinary, of being the common, don't worry about any of this. But folks, if you want to be a water walker, then maybe, just maybe, there might be something here that'll help you. The very first thing I want you to notice is that you have to see Jesus when he comes by. Again, if you recall the account, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And he sent his disciples ahead by ship or boat across the Sea of Galilee while he went to a mountain to pray. And during their trip across, the storm arose. And we're told that they've been rowing for 8 to 9 hours. 8 to 9 hours in a storm. And they've only covered about half the distance over, which is about 3.5 miles. Now, I wonder how you and I would feel if we were out on a boat and we were rowing. At one time, we had a men's gathering in Illinois. The guys in our church, we went down these people's property. They had a place that had been a strip mine, had water, filled up with water, and there was fish in it. So we were fishing, and I never forget. I took James, my youngest son, and another young boy in the church, and we went down. And I think James was about 8 years old or so. And we were out on this little. It was really windy that morning. I mean, it was really windy, and we're out trying to fish, and I dropped the anchor over so that we could kind of stay in one area. And it was one of these rowboats, I'm not much of a fisherman. I fished in Vietnam with hand grenades, but that was about my favorite way to do it. But I'm not much of a fisherman, and so I'm just there for the kids. And I dropped the anchor over, and I had to keep rowing to stay in place. And finally, I told him, I said, "That's it, guys. I said, we're not doing any good here. They throw it out, and it'd blow it back." Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible, terrible day. Now, these guys are facing a life and death situation. You have to understand this. They're getting water in the boat. See, it's okay to be in a boat in the water, but it's not okay to have water in the boat. That's the wrong way it was supposed to work. It's not supposed to work like that. And so they have worked hard. And if you can imagine, they must have been near exhaustion. And it's at this juncture that we're told that Jesus came to them walking up on the sea. And if you recall, it said, and would have passed them by. Would have passed them by. Now, that's a great statement. Well, what it tells us is that in our lives, Jesus may be coming by, but if we don't pay attention, sometimes he'll just walk right by us. You say, well, why won't he stop? Because you're not wanting to see him. You've got your own things going. You're doing your own way. Now, that's taking place on the Sea of Galilee about 2,000 years ago. And it's at that moment that we read these words, for they all saw him and were troubled. I think that's one of the biggest understatements in the New Testament. Now, let me ask you a question. You're out on the 3.5 miles out on a lake. A storm is there. You've been rowing and working hard all night. And all of a sudden you look up and somebody comes walking across the water. Now, I think that would trouble me. Wouldn't that trouble you? I think I'd think, well, maybe maybe I've worked too hard. I'm near exhaustion. I'm seeing things. I think this is a tremendous statement. Then it said, immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. They've seen the Messiah in the midst of the storm and the circumstances of their life. They've seen the Messiah. And at this point, you have to turn to Matthew's gospel to get the rest of the account. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What a moment that was for Peter. The disciples, it was a great moment for them. They got to observe all of this take place, all of these things happening. And it's also a great moment for us because we get to read about it and we get to hear about it. Peter became a water walker. No one else in history can say that. No one else in history can say that. Moses and the children of Israel talk about walking across the Red Sea on dry ground. The children of Israel and Joshua could talk about walking on dry ground across the Jordan River. Elijah and Elisha walked on through the midst of the Jordan River without getting their feet wet. But brothers and sisters, only Jesus and Peter walked on the water. Now, we should notice that the only other people that had the opportunity to walk on water that moment were the disciples. I wonder why the rest of the disciples didn't say, if Peter's going to walk on water, I want to walk on water. If Peter's going to do this, I want to do this. I don't know about you, but I think they were sitting back saying, I want to see what happens. You know, Peter, he's kind of a he's kind of impulsive in his actions. And I want to see if he's, is this really Jesus? Will this really take place? Is he going to walk on water? And they had the opportunity. I wonder if later on they were saying to themselves, man, I could have walked on water. I could have done it. If Peter could do it, I could have done it. All I had to do was get out of the boat. Man, just think, we could have all ran over to Jesus and hugged him. We could have danced around him. I mean, we could have had a party on the water. But they missed out. Only Peter walked on the water. Folks, I wonder sometimes if we see things happen around us and realize that Jesus is in our presence, and we miss out on the things that Jesus would have us to do, the miracles. Let me tell you one. There are men and women who hear the message of Jesus day in and day out. And they have that moment in church or maybe in a conversation with somebody. Some of you have had these kind of moments where you feel something different. It seems like there's an amazing moment. You can't explain it. You feel like, we church people would say, it's the presence of God. I worked with a guy, name was Dave Atchison. Dave was 6'3", 6'4", weighed probably 300 pound, big guy. And Dave, he went to a mainline church, and he thought that being a Christian meant that he looked in the dictionary and said, if you believe in Jesus, that's what a Christian was. So he said, I believe in Jesus. And I'll never forget, his wife made a commitment to Christ, and I was the only person he knew that talked to him about Jesus. And so Dave asked me to come to his house, and my cousin and I went to his house, and we sat down and talked with him. And I'll never forget, I said, Dave, I said, are you a Christian? If you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, yeah. Yeah. And after that, I don't know what else to do. I mean, you see, a lot of people are convinced they're Christian who aren't Christian. And you have to unconvince them that they're Christian so they can become Christian. Does that make sense? And I'll never forget walking out on the front porch and talking to Dave. And we've been talking for 45 minutes about the Lord and the wonders of the Lord and the Word of God. And we stood on his front porch. My cousin had walked to the car. And Dave looked at me, and my first name's Homer, and that's what they knew me as at work. He said, Homer, I said, I've never felt this way before. I said, Dave, I said, the Lord is speaking to you, and you need to get saved. Why don't we go in, and you kneel down at your couch, and you ask Jesus to be your Savior? And he said, okay. He walked on water that day. But a lot of people have sat in a congregation, heard the message time and time again, felt the power of God on their lives. And when the time came for them to respond, they said no. And they walked away. And they missed the opportunity to walk on water. What a shame it is. The next thing I want to give you here is you have to see Jesus when the waves are high. Folks, they're in a storm. See, they'd seen Jesus do things, but it had all been in the norm. You understand what I mean? The norm. The sun was shining, or they were in the crowd, or they were with people, and it was in the norm. And so it was easy for them to believe and to observe in those times. And it was also easy for them to see the miracles when things weren't difficult. I mean, nowhere else. Remember, it's a very good possibility their lives were in danger. Nowhere else had they faced that. But here that day, Jesus walks by The waves are high. Their minds are in turmoil. They are looking at what's happening, and they don't exactly know. Note what it says, but when they, in chapter 6, verse 49 of Mark, but when they saw him walking up on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Now that term, cried out, it means a shriek of terror. See, we listen to cried out and we think of that and went, ah, no, this is a shriek of terror. I was in Vietnam. I was in the infantry. I'd taken a 4-man recon team out. We'd been out about 3 or 4 days, and we set up on the side of a hill. And what we would do is before it got dark, we would set our defenses out, our claymore mines, things like that. And we were just ready to do this, and we heard a shriek. And one of the guys next to me said, "That's a tiger. I've heard him in the zoo." Gosh, that should have been a clue for me, you know. But Vietnam had tigers in it, I was the sergeant. I was in charge. They said, "Sergeant Rudd, are we going to put out our claymores and things?" I said, "You can if you want to. I'm not going out there." I was scared. I didn't want to go out there. Well, finally, one of the guys got up enough nerve, and he went out, and it was a wild boar that was out there. And see, when you hear a shriek, now, I could have squalled real loud at that time. I mean, I was scared because I didn't know what was out there. Well, here they are. They're looking out, and there's a shriek of terror. They're struggling to keep the boat afloat, and they thought they were seeing a demon come up out of the water coming to get them. Now, let me tell you, they were scared. One of the great problems that each of us must face is how we handle the ways of life when we're afraid and when we're troubled and we're overwhelmed with everything that's going on. See, sometimes all we see are the waves and we never see Jesus. We're always observing the problems that are all around us and we never look for Jesus to come by. We never look for the miracle worker to walk into our lives at that time. See, what we want to do is make God fix things in the normal way. We want everything nice and calm and even keeled. And if it gets a little boisterous, we get really worried about that. And we're wondering, can God really come when the waves are high? And so we get so wrapped up in what we're in that we forget about the one that is able to come by and fix the problems. They were completely surprised by it. This seems to tell me that if we cannot see Jesus when the waves are high, we'll miss out on the real miracles. We'll never walk on water. We'll stay in the boat. We'll keep doing what we think is the normal. We'll keep doing what we think works. We'll keep doing what we think everybody else has done. Why the normal, natural things? To row the boat. Why give up the one that's going to go out? Why stop and look at what's going on around you? See, when the storms come, at that moment is when real faith is exercised. When you don't know how to fix it, when you don't know the answer, when you think everything's lost, that's where real faith comes in. Now, may I say this to you out of all honesty? Most of us don't want that. I don't. I don't like storms. Do you like storms? I mean, I don't mind a storm when I'm in the house and it's raining on the house. But I don't want to be out in the storms. I don't want the waves splashing around me. I get seasick. You get me in a little boat and it's going like this and I'm not helped for anybody. Lay me down, stick a fork in me, I'm done, you know. And because I just don't do that. Matter of fact, I'm hanging my head over the side of the boat. And most of us get that kind of, we get some kind of seasickness when storms come in our lives. And we want to stick our head over the boat and just throw up a little bit and hope it'll all go away. See, the waves do not cease so we can get a grasp on things. But rather our hearts have to believe that Jesus has been watching us all the time. And He will arrive on time. He came at the exact moment they needed Him. Last thing, you have to see Jesus as your rescuer. When the disciples were screaming, Jesus said, "It is I." Now, we probably miss the real impact of those words that He says there because of the language differences. But what He's saying there is something very, very similar to what Moses heard at the burning bush. One interpreter said that this should be interpreted as "I am." When He said, "It is I," it should have been "I am." Now, get the interaction that takes place at that moment between Jesus and Peter. I'm not sure if Peter realized all that was taking place at that moment, but surely at some point in the future he began to think about this. And he said, now what did he say? "I am?" I've heard that somewhere before. You know, I've heard that statement somewhere before. And in his mind, he'd draw that up. Now listen, Peter says, "If thou art..." And so Jesus invites him out to take a stroll on the sea in the waves. And Peter has the audacity to take him up on the invitation. The "I am" of Moses is the same "I am" that Peter was talking to that day. And just as the "I am" of Moses gave a miraculous indication through the burning bush of His presence, so the "I am" of Peter does the same thing. He walks on water as he's going by in a storm. The "I am" of Moses tells him to take up a rod that would become a serpent, whereas the "I am" of Peter tells him to take an early morning walk with Him on the Sea of Galilee. Praise God. The "I am" of Moses and the "I am" of Peter are the same "I am." And folks, remember this. He is also our "I am." When you are in the midst of your storm and you've rowed all you can row, the same "I am" that was with Moses and the same "I am" that was with Peter is the same "I am" who will be with you. And you can have the opportunity to get out of the boat and walk on water. Now, Peter had some problems. We all understand that. He's out for his early morning hike with Jesus, and suddenly he begins to watch the waves instead of watching the Master. He has his eyes on the wrong thing. The waves really do not matter as long as you have the Wave Master with you. Leroy Imes is participant with the Navigators. Some of you may have heard of the Navigators, but Leroy Imes told the story of being in the airport one day, and this has been a number of years ago. And they don't do the thing. They didn't do the things back then like they do now, as far as getting you to places and everything. And he said his plane landed, and I think it might have been a little bit late. And he looked at where he had to go. You know how you do that in the airport, and he realized he had a long way to go. And he's just walking just as fast as he could because he's afraid he's going to miss his plane. And he said, all of a sudden, there was a guy walking beside of him, and the guy looked at him and said, "What are you in a hurry for?" And the guy was dressed up in a uniform, you know, and he was evidently worked for the airlines. And he said, "What are you in such a hurry for?" He said, "Well, man, I might miss my plane." He said, "Which one is it?" And he told him, he said, "Don't worry about it. They're not going to leave without you." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "I'm the captain." Yeah, folks, when you have the captain with you, the plane won't leave without you. Understand that for your life. That's a reality for you. As long as the wave master is there, the waves can't kill you. They can't cause you to sink. Now, keep in mind, even though Peter was sinking beneath the waves, now, folks, we really talk bad about Peter. Well, Peter, you know, he got out in the water and started sinking and everything. Yeah, but he walked over to Jesus already. And, I mean, he's done more than any of us. How many of you have made one step on top of the water? Oh, nobody here. Amazing, isn't it? Peter did. And we talk bad about Peter. Oh, Peter didn't have enough faith. It seems to me he has more faith than a lot of us. And so... so here's Peter, he's sinking, and this is what he does. He remembers who the master is. And he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches his hand out to him and raises him up out of the water. What a moment that was. Notice this great truth that we see here. Jesus was his rescuer, whether he was in the boat or in the water. It didn't matter where Peter was. It only mattered that the master was there. Peter depended on that. He hoped for it. He held to it. And he cried for it. And that's our truth. It matters not where you are in the storm. Jesus is the only one who can truly rescue you. He's the only one that can raise you up. The I am of all eternity is walking through the storm, calling us to him, and he will raise us from the water. In the storm of Mark 4, Jesus was in the boat with them. You ought to read that one. And this is the one where he stands out on the bow of the ship and he says, "Peace, be still," and there came a great calm. And they said, "What manner of man is this?" Understatements. The scriptures are full of understatements. What manner of man is this? Why, this is nothing but God, the I am. He's there. Now, anybody here that can stand out on the ship and stop the storm by saying, "Stop, let me know. I want to have you hang around with me for a while. You know, I might be able to use your help here." But folks, there's nobody but Jesus can do that. He's the one. He's the rescuer. When you and I begin to see that truth, then we can realize that we can step into the water, and if we begin to sink, the same Savior that will rescue us while we're in the boat will also rescue us while we're in the water. Folks, some people never get that. And so they're always avoiding the things that God could give them, the miracles that could come. They never walk on the water. You can walk on the water. You can. You have to see Jesus when he comes by. You have to see him when he comes by in the storm. We have to watch for him. We have to look for him. We have to depend on him coming. We have to know he'll be there. Our hearts have to say that I can trust him regardless of what comes, regardless of what it's like. I can trust him. And folks, when the I am comes, look out. You'll walk on water. Can you imagine what heaven must have been like when all the disciples got there? Now, this is just my imagination, okay? I'm not saying this is scriptural. You may say, I'm way off base. That's okay. I don't mind. Just imagine with me for a moment. They gather around. They start talking to each other. And John says, You know, I was so glad to be on earth with Jesus. You know, I laid my head on his bosom. And, you know, Peter said, yeah, I doubted at first. I want you to know. He said, but, I Jesus told me to put his hand in my hand in his side. And, you know, we were really close to get to have that kind of discussion. And the other ones were talking, you know, the sons of thunder, you know, John and James and John, they were talking. You know, we wanted to call fire down from heaven, and Jesus taught us different. And here's Peter sitting there, and they said, Peter, did you really do that much? Peter says, I walked on water with Jesus. Did you? Did you? Now, I know that heaven's probably not going to be like that, but I don't know. If I was Peter, I couldn't resist that. I'd have to say that. You know, I'd have to say, guys, you know, you think you really done something. I walked on water with Jesus, and you had the opportunity, and you missed out. Folks, you can walk on water. The wave master comes by. He can save you. He can forgive you. He can make you whole. He can get you through the storms. He can allow you to do things that you never would have thought you would have done. One last thing in closing. I was a high school dropout, 17 years of age. Quit high school twice, once when I was 16 and once when I was 17. Spent the rest of my adult life getting an education, but I was a high school dropout. I came back from Vietnam and was not a very nice person. And Jesus saved me. And this high school dropout, this blue-collar worker that worked for GM, when I got out of the military, I worked in a foundry shoveling sand. This guy that probably shouldn't have made anything, God took him and let him pastor two great congregations. And I've had the opportunity to preach in numerous places. Who would have ever thought such a thing is possible? Why? The I Am came by one day, and I was in the storm just working away. And all of a sudden, I finally heard him. And he changed my life. He can do the same for you. You can walk on the water. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for these men and women who sit in these pews today. Now, Father, you see every one of them, and you understand what they go through in their lives. You love them greatly, and you've walked by them numerous times. Some of them have never seen you before. They don't know that you're there. They don't know that you're what you're doing for them or with them. But Father, may they just simply see you at this moment. And if they simply need a miracle, may it come to them. May they be water walkers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.